Welcome to True Worldview, your place for intelligent conversation on ultimate questions and the issues that matter. I'm Christy Johnson. I'm here with Paul Dean, and today we're talking about three simple reasons abortion should be outlawed.
That's right, Christy, and it's not that we're pointing to anything per se. I mean, we're still in the midst of this COVID-19 crisis, and on the one hand, we thought, well, let's talk about something else for a change. On the other, the issue of abortion is always on the table. At the same time, we have talked about rights and the Constitution and different things throughout this coronavirus situation. We've talked about homeschooling and, you know, the threat to that. And it just seemed appropriate to sort of put this back on the table as well, because, you know, rights are part of this discussion, and it's a big issue in America. And part of the question is, who are we going to be as a country going forward from all of this? And I think Christians need to be informed, and they need to be able to speak intelligently. And so we're just going to talk about why abortion should be outlawed. I think we, you know, Bible-believing Christians believe that, and they can all say, well, murder's wrong, sure. But we can say more about the biblical issues than just that. But I think ultimately, if you just get these three little categories in your head, three simple reasons that abortion should be outlawed, it's unconstitutional, it's uncivil, and it's unbiblical. And I think that'll help.
Yeah, definitely. It's a heated issue, as we all know. And so often it seems like we can't even have a logical conversation with people who do think that abortion should be legal and should be okay. Because we have a different definition of life or something, apparently. I don't know what it is. But really, I think it's because it's that they're blind to the truth. I think that there is a sense in which that there are some spiritual realities, and they are just not able to see common reason that a fetus is life. Now, I'm getting ahead of us, obviously.
Yes. It's okay.
So let's bring it back in, and let's talk about why abortion is actually unconstitutional. I mean, America's founding documents say that there's a right to life for all of its citizens. And we would say that that includes the unborn.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the Declaration of Independence is a document that we have to go to start with, I think, because it's foundational for understanding the concept of rights in America. Now, again, True Worldview, Christians, we're gonna talk about what the Bible says, but again, a lot of this is rooted in a biblical underpinning. And I think that, you know, one of the points that we've often made, and we'll make it again, and we'll make it here, but certain rights, and these are real rights, not just made up rights. You know, a lot of people think, well, I've got the right to a house. Well, no, you don't, because if you have the right to a house, that implies that you know, somebody has to supply that house for you if you can't supply it for yourself. You have the right to pursue home ownership, but you don't have the right to a house. Those are two very different things, if that makes sense. But certain rights are, in fact, real rights. And that means that they're not granted by government. Rather, they're granted by God, and government simply recognize them as the rights that they are, if that makes sense.
Right. In the Declaration of Independence, it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." So in the minds of the founders, there was no debate as to who these rights came from. They knew they're endowed by the creator. They're given by God, not the government. You know, it didn't say the government is granting these rights. They said they're endowed by the creator, and they're unalienable.
Well, that's right. The human beings are not to be separated from these rights. They're unalienable because they came from God, as you just said. And at the same time, you know, you mentioned a moment ago that, you know, these folk in our culture who argue for the legalization of abortion, sometimes they're confused over what it means when we use the term life. They actually twist, you know, what life is. They twist what it means to be a person. They have all kinds of arguments. They're even, you know, libertarians who, it seems to me, ironically contradict themselves, who would say that abortion is certainly the right of a mother. There are many who would argue it's immoral to engage in abortion, but the mother has the right because, you know, property or rights rather are tied to property, and, you know, the greatest property is yourself. But if this mother whose body is her property is invaded by a foreign organism, she has the right to expel it. And even though we adopt a very libertarian kind of view of government and civil society, that view is rooted in scripture, not merely a political philosophy. And any political philosophy that would advocate for the right of a mother to kill her unborn baby in biblical terms, and in my estimation, it's not truly a libertarian philosophy, even though many argue from that point. Now, I've gotten really far down the road. That was not my point, Christy. But I bring it out because, you know, you said in the minds of the founders, there's no debate as to where rights come from. 100% right. But in the minds of the founders, there was no debate as to the special place that human beings, as human beings, held in the world. We were, you know, human beings are not animals. Human beings are human beings, and they're all human beings, and they're all persons, and they're all alive. That's the issue.
Yeah, and not only that, the Declaration of Independence says the truth is self-evident, as in, like, you don't even gotta question it. You know,
That's right. It's
we all know it. It's a no-brainer. It's almost common sense that it's a God-given right, because humans are unique, and all humans are unique. And that concept from the Declaration of Independence is even woven into the Constitution. So, you know, I think it's clear that abortion really is unconstitutional. And some have even argued, though, that babies, like you mentioned, in the womb are not persons. And so I guess they say that they're not in view in the Declaration of Independence, and they're not protected by the Constitution. But, you know, I think that's where Roe versus Wade comes from, that babies aren't persons. So what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, we would say that babies are persons, but you're right. That's what Roe v. Wade is rooted in. In fact, Judge Andrew Napolitano said this. He said, Roe established that the fetus in the womb, notwithstanding human parentage and the possession of all the genomic material needed to develop into a full postnatal human, is legally not a person. But here's the thing, Christy, such a concept, it goes back to an earlier Supreme Court decision. And I think a lot of folk, if they knew this, they would be horrified on the one hand. They would call the progressives hypocrites. But there again, because they want to fight for abortion, maybe they wouldn't. But that whole concept goes back to Dred Scott versus Sanford, which was in the abolitionist era, as Napolitano points out, and it essentially denied the personhood of African Americans. In fact, African Americans were called 3/5 persons, if I'm not mistaken, at one point.
Wow.
And this is the same argument that is used to support Roe v. Wade. So, you know, the issue today, as Napolitano says, if the unborn baby is a person, well, then it's protected from abortion in the Constitution. It's protected by the Fifth Amendment. It's protected by the 14th Amendment, which commands the government to protect equally the lives of all people. But that is not the case, because unborn babies are not considered persons. How about that?
It's sad. And I mean, if you can change the definition of what it means to be a person or what it means to be alive, you know, that's the issue that I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, that some people will say, well, it's not a life. But, you know, if you can change the definition of that, then who decides and what? And it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you would think that a living baby, even a living baby in the womb, would be entitled to equal protection under the law. And as Judge Napolitano would say, yep, under natural law, absolutely. Under the Constitution, yeah, absolutely. But under Roe v. Wade, no. Because, again, and we said this at the top of the broadcast as well, that, or maybe it was on a different episode, they run together in my mind because we talk about these vital, vital issues in our culture. But the Constitution has no meaning in our society anymore. They ride roughshod over it at every turn. The reality is that Roe v. Wade is unconstitutional. Abortion is unconstitutional. And regardless of the philosophical gymnastics that you have to engage in when it comes to something like Roe v. Wade, Christy, the supreme law of the land is the Constitution, and it protects the lives of all people. And that is why, in the first place, what we're saying today, that is why abortion should be outlawed. It is completely unconstitutional, as is Roe v. Wade. You can't appeal to Roe v. Wade because it's unconstitutional, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the Constitution is supposed to be sacrosanct, and it's supposed to be inviolable. It is supposed to be the supreme law of the land, but it seems like nowadays it's not. It seems like we're throwing it aside whenever we want to. And I think the Constitution is there to protect us and to give us a civil society, which leads us to the second reason that abortion should be outlawed, because it's uncivil. It's not just unconstitutional. You know, yes, okay, if Roe v. Wade wants to go against the Constitution and you want to say, well, Roe v. Wade says abortion is protected, well, here's another argument that abortion should be outlawed, is that it's uncivil.
Well, that's right. I mean, it militates against the nature of civil society. You know, the concept of unalienable rights, which we said, of course, is rooted in our founding documents. It places a duty upon the government to protect those rights. And we already mentioned the Fifth Amendment and the 14th Amendment. Those constitutional amendments, those are examples of the fact that government has a duty to protect our rights. So essentially, the role of government, according to the Declaration and according to the Constitution, and frankly, the biblical argument, the role of government is to protect the rights that God has given us. I mean, civil government really can't be justified if its primary role is not protecting the rights of the people.
That's exactly right. What else would it do if not to protect the rights of the people? I mean, the progressives would say that government should do a lot more than that. But the truth is, government is supposed to protect the rights of people. And if it's not there to do that, then we wouldn't need it. And so we wouldn't have, you know, a civil society if we're not protected from each other, whether by government or by an agreement or whatever. But, you know, the idea of a civil society is just that. It's a group of people existing together in a civil manner. And if you can't exist together in a civil manner, like if you can't be protected from being killed by the next person, then that's not living civilly.
Well, you're exactly right. And that's something that we harp on all the time. And it's interesting, you know, you raise this issue of society, I mean, and the civil society, which is what we're talking about. But, you know, some regard society is bigger than the individual. And that's where that's where all the progressives are coming from. You know, it takes a village. You know, I read a piece, we were talking about homeschooling on a different broadcast. And, you know, someone was saying, I forget who it is, but, you know, parents really shouldn't be the ones to raise their children. The community raises the children. Well, these are progressive, liberal ideas that go against the Bible. They go against Western civilization. They go against our founding documents, the whole bit. It's not like we're some anomalous group out here as Christians, you know, these ideologues, as we've been called by those over at Harvard recently, if you recall. But the reality is there's no such thing as society spelled with a capital S. I mean, you said it, Christy. Society is comprised of individuals. And if the group becomes, you know, overarching, if the group becomes an entity in and of itself, well, then the rights of the individuals are definitely going to be lost. We're going to be forced to submit to those with power. Remember, might makes right, and that's where we are in our culture. And, you know, the government always gives power to a few, and those few that have power, they coerce the rest of us. But that's not the way it's supposed to be, is it?
No, it's not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be free. But when society is viewed as persons who have unalienable rights, then government exists, as Edmund Opitz said, to protect the voluntary associations which men, acting freely, form to further their private ends. Every man has equal freedom to follow the dictates of his own conscience, and government has no mandate to interfere unless some other man's equal claim to freedom is being impaired. So we're supposed to live together and do, I mean, basically be able to do whatever we want, further our own private ends, but not impair someone else's freedom or infringe on someone else's rights. And that's what a civil society is. And that's what the government should exist to protect. So it follows then that abortion militates against the nature of civil society being composed of free individuals. It's like when one segment of society has its rights taken away, then the society can't be called a civil society anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? Because we have the rights of the unborn being taken away, and so that's no longer civil.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, it's a society that allows at least one kind of indiscriminate murder. You know, one group is indiscriminately murdered, and I think if the government allows that, then the government is an accessory to murder. And here's something that we talk about pretty often, Christy. If one group is no longer protected and safe, then no group is. And that's why, you know, I think when you look at what's happening in terms of euthanasia and what's happening in terms of healthcare with older persons or Down syndrome abortions or whatever the case may be, certain segments that are deemed by the leaders of our culture, the technocrats of the world, certain segments of our society that are deemed unproductive, well, they just don't have the same value that the productive members of society have. And boy, these are all the things that we read about in school, right? I mean, Brave New World and 1984 and all the rest, and boy, it's really come home to roost. But anyway, it's why abortion should be outlawed, because it militates, abortion militates against the very nature of civil society. So that's why we say it's uncivil. Before that, we said it's unconstitutional. And lastly, Christy, abortion is unbiblical.
Yeah, I think that's the most important and the highest standard that we have is, and the only authority is the Bible. And, you know, you can argue over what you think is a civil society, maybe, but the truth is, you know, if, like you were saying, if you have one area of society being infringed upon, like unborn babies, then it stands to reason, well, then let's ask about this other area of society. Why don't we draw the line a little in a different place? Why don't we say that this other group doesn't deserve their rights? And you have no standard and no authority when it's left to just your opinion, and you can draw the line wherever you want, or when it's left to the opinion of the elites or whatever, whoever's in political power at the time, then you can draw the line wherever you want. But we have a clear authority and a clear line in the Bible that says murder is evil. And so, yes, abortion is unconstitutional, it's uncivil, and it's unbiblical. And that should be the one that hurts us the most, that we are, by aborting millions of babies every year, that we are hurting and not, that we're hurting God's, we're hurting God and we're hurting God's law. We're shaking our fists at God. And that should be the one that's, that makes us the most sad, I think, that it's unbiblical.
No, I think you're right. That's for sure. And, you know, very plainly, you come to the Ten Commandments, you shall not murder, Exodus chapter 20. So God forbids it, obviously. But he also, I mean, that's the old covenant, and certainly thou shalt not murder applies to new covenant believers. It applies to Gentiles, and by Gentiles, I'm using that biblically, unbelievers. We're Gentiles, but we're born again by the Spirit. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that murder is always wrong, but we're told that apart from the old covenant, for example, in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, Bible says that whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for, now here's the reason, in the image of God he made man. Mm. So the primary reason that murder is wrong is that if you murder someone, there's a sense in which you're murdering God, because all men and women are created in the image of God. And so an attack on a human being is an attack on God.
And that's why I said that abortion, it's like hurting God. This just came into my head. I didn't mean like he's someone who's getting his feelings hurt and we're like, oh, poor God, we hurt you, so sad. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we're marring the image of God in creation, and we're also hurting our witness. So it's not that, you know, his feelings are hurt, but it's that we're marring the image of God. And that's huge. That's a huge reality, that all people are created in the image of God.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I think moving on a little bit, you know, we live in a pluralistic society in America. And we've argued that you can't just legislate Christian morality in general. And we won't go down this road too far, Christy. There are some issues that are moral issues only, and we don't legislate those through the government. We're not trying to impose our Christianity on the rest of the world. But there are some issues that are both moral and civil, and abortion is one of those issues. That's why we made the argument that, you know, not only is abortion unconstitutional, it militates against the nature of civil society. Now we're saying it's unbiblical. It's unbiblical because God says you can't murder. But some would say, well, again, you still can't appeal to the Bible because, you know, we do have a pluralistic society, can't be governed by Christian morals and all the rest. And listen, the fact is that all religions to one degree or another forbid murder. You know, some would say you can murder folk who are not part of your religion. Those are few and far between, though. But I would say that all societies forbid murder. Mm-hmm. And it's not owing to, you know, the fact that these other religions have ultimate truth. I mean, there's only one source of truth, and that's the God of the Bible. But all people are created in the image of God. And folk who are created in the image of God, born dead in sin, they still have the, you know, the image of God has not been obliterated. It's been marred, but not obliterated. But even though it's been marred, I mean, the vestiges of God's image are still there. And we all know intuitively, because it's written on our hearts, and even the Bible tells us that murder is wrong. And so the issue of murder and abortion is murder. The prohibition against murder, there's a moral issue there. There's a civil issue there. And I would think that, you know, it's easy to say, going back to this constitutional and civil society arguments that we made, I think we can root those in Scripture. You know, God prohibits murder in any context, but he certainly prohibits murder in civil society because, you know, it's a good thing, it's a biblical thing to preserve civil society. Why? Well, because murder's wrong, stealing is wrong, right? Those kinds of things. So he prohibits murder in civil society to preserve the right to life that he's granted to all individuals. Yeah. And Christian, let me make one more statement and see what you think about this, just as we think this through a little bit. If there is no God, if you reject God, if God's not recognized as the one who grants these unalienable rights, if there is no God, then there is no such thing as a civil society. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's true. Once God is rejected, then relativism is the default. And we see that in our society today. You know, once you reject God, then you can say that in Roe v. Wade, you know, a fetus is not a person. Or you can say in Dred Scott versus Sanford that African Americans aren't persons if you don't have the authority, because then you're just left with relativism, and whoever's in power makes the rules in relativism, and the concept of rights is rejected. And that's what we have in America today, that the rights are just being rejected. The Constitution is being thrown out the window because we don't have a society built on God. I mean, and like I said, you know, like you say, and like we have said before, we're not saying that we should legislate morality, in that, you know, we should put God's laws, enact the God's laws in the government. What we want is for lives to be changed and people to really believe the gospel and be changed by the gospel and have a true worldview, a Christian worldview, one where we have a sure foundation, a steady foundation, an authoritative word that says that life is, we have a right to life, that we are made in God's image, and even the unborn children are.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. And I just think, you know, we keep harping on this because you've got to make that connection between a civil society, the rights of individuals who make up that society, and the role of government in protecting those rights being unalienable, because as you just said, those rights come from God. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, just to recap quickly, abortion is unbiblical on moral grounds. God says it's evil. It's unbiblical on universal grounds. All societies say it's evil because all people are created in God's image. It's unbiblical on philosophical grounds. You mentioned relativism, militating against civil society and law and order in general. And then it's unbiblical on practical grounds, because abortion leads to the ultimate destruction of civil society. So unconstitutional, uncivil, unbiblical, Christy.
That's right. And really, it's a gospel issue, because life and liberty are rooted in the reality of God. So we need to, as always, we need to spread the gospel. We need to tell people about Jesus so that they will know him and so that they can have a true worldview. So join us next time when we talk about something else on True Worldview.
You've been listening to True Worldview, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical perspective. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Thanks for listening, and join us next time on True Worldview. And the gospel.